speak to somebody in this congregation this morning, but again, he says between now and Friday, a lot can happen. So just keep your eyes on him. It's the trip. It's the distance or the traveling from today to Friday is where the blessings will be lying.
Amen.
And sometimes we get our eyes off of that part of it. Amen. And my wife and I were going to take off this afternoon. We're going to go to a church up in Versailles. We're going to spend the night. And we'll get this hotel room ready and stuff. We got it reserved. But it's the trip today going up there that I'm going to enjoy the most. I mean, a beautiful day. Look at God's scenery. And just take our time. Well, I'd love to be there and be in that hotel room and king-size bed, you know. I didn't get her one, but, you know, I got a roll away for you, you know. But just remembering not to be in that big of a hurry in life and to slow down. Thank you, hon. We got to train you again. There, they want to see you too. But, yes, that's why I moved the flower there for you to see her. See? But God says, as long as you're not done with him, he's not done with you. Isn't that awesome? As long as you don't give up on him, he'll never give up on you. And the plans he has for us will continue on as long as we continue with him. Just sometimes we need that encouragement, don't we? Sometimes we think we're all alone, that we're anyone's gone through this thing, and well, we love God, we believe in the Lord, but sometimes we just almost get to the point we want to give up. But God doesn't want that to happen. Anyway, he says in Matthew 5:6, Jesus told us, and I shared this with you a couple weeks ago. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness. And so when you read the first part of it, there, those who hunger, man, you ever get hungry while you're fasting? It's not the hunger pains that does it, it's the desire to know God more, to hear him. And that's one of the greatest things about fasting does, as we continue talking about fasting, is it quiets down the world and allows you to hear God. It's like last night I was watching a television show and Carol started talking to me. So I had a choice, listen to my TV show and listen to my wife talk. Now, the chances are, she gets done talking, 2 days from today, she'll say, now, remember I told you this? No, you never told me that. I told you that. No, you did not. Uh-oh, get a fight back here. Well, she would have told me, but I really wasn't listening. I was listening to her at that point. See, maybe my ears were tuned to something emergency she's going to tell me. You know, I got to react to it. But it's just information, which nothing wrong with this information. You're giving one ear out the other. But if she comes to me and wants to talk, and I'm watching a TV show, and she wants to interrupt my show, then I have to figure it must be pretty important. If I want to hear what she says, what do I do? Pause the TV show or turn it down because I want to hear her. Now, without pausing that TV, she's still talking. She is still talking, saying what she wants to say to me, but I'm not listening. So I kind of put my TV more important than my wife's conversation. And I won't go any farther than that one right there, okay? And folks, that's the same. What's that?
I didn't hear that.
I'm already deep enough. I'm already deep enough, yes, amen. But see, that's the same way with the Lord, you know. As a Christian, he's always talking to us. He is always talking to us. But sometimes we have the outside influences quieting his voice. And when we fast, one of the greatest things that takes place is that we hear the word of God greater. Okay, he's still talking, but we're listening to him. We start turning down the things of the outside, and man, I mean, when you hear more of the word of God, you know how it builds your faith? I mean, doesn't it? We'll see here in a little bit. We look at many folks in the Bible and how they fasted, how God brought them through and used them in a mighty way. And so that's what he wants us to do, to look at this thing called fasting and throw ourselves into that we want more of God. I believe everyone here, if you're born again, you want to hear more of God's Word. I really believe that. I really believe that you want more of you, God, not me. And for some of us, we've been going along for a while, getting by okay. But man, we just... Today ain't the same thing it was 3 years ago, you know. You don't feel the same. You just, well, part of that is because the Word of God is getting covered up more and more because there's so much outside influence coming into our lives. Right? And there's more opportunity for that, too. And I'm not saying it's bad, but folks, you got to realize, for most of us, we don't leave the house without somebody who can talk to us. We don't drive down the road if somebody can't talk to us. I'm not talking about my wife riding with me. I'm talking about our cell phones, our computers, our answer machines, our TV, our radios. Probably no TV in the car. Some of you got TVs in the car. All this outside influence is getting more and more attention. The radio in the car. And the time that God wants to speak to us, we're not listening because we're more concerned about the things of the world today. I'm not saying we're not concerned about God. But, okay, what's going on in the world today? We turn on that radio. Oh, can you believe that? Can you believe what he just did? Can you believe that law that he just passed? All this stuff goes on and on and on. And we focus more on that. And we're getting away from listening to God because it's easy to get wrapped up in the things of the world. It is. You know, and I'm not saying some of the things are bad in the world. I mean, we're talking about politics and this person stands on this, this person stands on that. That all can be very... needy and need to understand that. But we get so wrapped up into that, we forget what God's called us to be. And we share on Friday night two things he wants us to be. Right, Bonnie? Remember what that was? I'll give you a test.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, wrote down. Okay, I don't even pick you out there. But he wants us to, I know you do, but he wants us to be the light of the world, salt of the earth, light of the world. Amen. Wow, that's awesome. I'll tell you what.
She was paying attention.
Paying attention. I'll tell you what, that's cool. Yeah, but that's the calling upon your life and my life is to be the light of the world. A light not hidden under a basket, but a city on the hillside. So anything that you go through, wherever you're at, he's called us to be the light, the shine. What the light does, it pushes out darkness. Amen? It does. And then to be the salt of the earth. And salt, back in the Jesus' day, and even our earlier days of my life, it's a preservative. You put it around fish and meat, and it keeps it from stinking. And it preserves it and eat it later on. And salt also adds flavor. Just a little bit of salt. Yeah. If you ever make a recipe, and you don't quite know how to read it, of course, I'm more of a chef. I don't follow recipes. I like the title chef, but otherwise I just say that because I don't follow anybody's recipes. I just make it up myself. But you know, a big tea and a recipe is what? And a small tea? Yes, I learned that one time, a long time ago. So if you put a tablespoon of salt in the cookie mix, and it calls for a teaspoon, did that salt... enlighten the taste? No, it wiped it out, right? Right. And I believe it's with us. Salt into a conversation can flavor it. But at times we have too much salt that will kill it. Amen? Pretty close here. We got some bakers in here, okay? Otherwise, we need to salt the conversation, bring it around to the Lord or bring it how God would lead us to speak. But don't worry that we have to preach during the conversation. Amen? But that's what we're called to do. So anytime you're around a conversation, Penny, and it's going on, and it's starting to go downhill a little bit, okay. I got two choices. Either try to salt it a little bit and give it a little bit of flavor, or get out. Amen? I mean, and sometimes it might be impossible at that moment. If you got 10 people going one way and you're all by yourself going this way to the Lord, Okay. You just step back. And then when you see Chuck by himself, then you put salt to conversation. Hey, I heard you guys talking about, you know. And this is what the Lord says. It just, God will lead you in that. But not to be afraid, and the Holy Spirit leads you to do what He says. Again, it seems funny. I talked about this Friday night, Bonnie. I talked about it last week. But I had a laugh when I got home last night, my wife. I came in last night just to have time with the Lord and just about 9 o'clock, I think, had a brother in the Lord stop by and dropped off 4 cases of food. I mean, it is amazing. But I was kind of hungry, so I stopped at a store on 7th Street, and they had them little rotisserie hot dogs and sausages. Well, I went in there and had one left who'd been there all day. And it's crusty. It's the way I love them things, okay? And, oh, thank you, Lord. And it's been a long time because of COVID. They've been shut down. You couldn't get any of them. And so I got it and pulled it off that thing and put it on a bun. Walked up the checkout. And the gentleman standing there in front of me. He's having a hard time. And the younger guy, and by looking at him and talking, listen to him, he's been through the system several times. He had his numbers on him and his tattoos and everything that you can get gang-related and stuff, okay? No problem. But he's got his phone, and he's beating it or tapping it on this thing at the register. I'm just back like this. Walks in and taps it again. I thought, what's wrong with this guy? Well, long story short, he had a new system. Maybe you all might know about it. It's on your phone that if you don't pay for something, you tap it on this thing, and it just you're done. You don't sign nothing. You just tap it. Anybody else? Anybody familiar with that? Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with it?
Watch too.
Huh?
My watch too.
Your watch the same way? Oh, you can tap your watch and pay for something? Uh-huh. Wow. Because when I first saw a guy doing it, I'm thinking, okay, there I am out in town. He must be strung out pretty good, you know. And I'm trying to pay for it. Okay. But the long story short is this. It wouldn't work at all. And I heard what the lady said, how much it was. I said, hey, buddy, I got it. I said, hey, I'll pay for it. Oh, man, no, you don't do that. He said, I'll give you the money. I said, no. I've been there before. I said, I don't know anything about what you're trying to do. I had a hard time with debit cards. I got rid of them a long time ago. But I said, he had milk and something else there, you know. I said, let me go ahead and I'll just take care of it. And I said, someday, when you figure out how to work that thing, there might be somebody there in front of you that's going through a tough time. Just do it. Just do it. Of course, I got my hat on. I got my coat that says pastor on it, you know. But have my mask on, which is amazing. I walked in the store. They gave me $100 for my mask on. I took it off now. But he looked at me, though. When I get ready to leave, then he says, I'll say a prayer for you. I don't think he knew, but you know, just something that, and they wondered what my name was before I left. And so I told my name. So, but again, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, and this is 3 weeks in a row, I have to quit shopping on Saturday nights, you know. But I was able to be that light without being overbearing. And just, you know, today maybe somewhere you say, man, I don't know who this dude was, but he's a pastor somewhere. You know what he did for me? Other folks went around him. And didn't do anything, you know. And so hopefully just bring the light towards God, you know. Amen. So, but to be the light and the salt of the earth and not, don't judge the book from the outside. Because remember, when God starts cleaning us up, where did He clean up first? On the inside. Amen. Amen. But as long as we're not done with God, He's not done with us. And as the scripture said there, that we hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I'm telling you, through the fasting process, we can hear the Lord's more and more of His voice and understanding. And as a Christian, you know, inside of you today is everything you ever need to know. Anything you ever want to accomplish is already inside of you, because God's done it all, has He not? And He has chosen to live inside of you. And the Holy Spirit resides in it. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so, how do we get the answers that we need? Well, we listen to the Holy Spirit. Who's a great librarian? The Holy Spirit. Didn't Jesus say, I'll send you the Comforter? I'll send you one that will bring back to you everything I've spoken? How many right now know everything that Jesus said? Am I the only one? How many's read the Gospels?
Yes.
Amen. That word's inside of you, right? It is. You say, well, I can't recite it all. But you know, with the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that word is brought back to us when we need it. Think of that. And if it's trying to bring you back the word to you in the situation that you're having issues with, and you can't hear him because we're looking everywhere else for the answer, we're going to miss it. So this helps. And when you're in a situation and you are trying to say, well, Lord, I'm not sure which way to go. What do you want me to do? I'm going to fast today, Father. I'm going to just concentrate on your word. And that small, still voice will bring back to you either what you've read, what you've been taught. It'll bring stuff back from the Old Testament, the New Testament, all that to show you, man, this is how it works for them. Because God is not a respecter of persons, is he? I mean, what he does for one of us, he'll do for all of us. And we follow him. Now, on the fasting, has anybody stepped into fasting yet here recently? Anybody has? Okay. And again, I'll be fasting. And if you have something you want me to fast with you or fast for you, let me know after the service and I'll include that. But on the fasting part of it, there's several different types of fasting. And you choose which one you want to do. A normal fast means there's no food and no water. I mean, boom, nothing at all. And that's the one I do quite often from midnight to 6. I don't mean to laugh all the time, but I'm trying to show you that fasting has to be something that you are surrendering. I'm going to fast for 8 hours a day. If you say, I'll go from midnight to 8 o'clock, and you don't work midnight shift, then we're missing the point. Because we want to be able to keen in and listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to us. An absolute fast is no water, no food, but your caution, man, don't go over 3 days without it unless you get it cleared by your doctor and the Lord. Number one, the Lord calls you on that. Our body needs water. I mean, it has to have water to function. But if God calls you for a 3-day absolute fast, you do it. A partial fast. And this one here is very, a lot of use this one. And we see that Daniel did that. And I'll get into Daniel later on. But this is fasting certain meals of the day or staying away from certain kinds of food. So you might get up in the morning, eat breakfast, and I'm going to fast my lunch today. I'm not going to eat anything. And then supper at 6 o'clock, when your supper time is, it'd be time to eat again. The normal time that you would be eating at noon, you spend that time in prayer, talking with God, into the scriptures, listening to him. You can have a fast of just stuff that's healthy for you. I know. But like vegetables, juice, stuff like that. If you like meat. If you don't like meat, then eating vegetables isn't much of a fast because you prefer to have that anyway. There's a juice fast where you only consume juice. And that can be, again, it could be a day, it could be 2 days, 3 days. I will caution you this, though. If you go to just a juice fast, fruits, vegetables, it might take your body a while to adjust to it. So I wouldn't travel too far from home. I'm just telling you that your body, don't know what kind of juices you're consuming there. But again, to me, one of the greatest things when I'm fasting is hearing my belly growl. You know, I said, no, you're going to submit to me. No, you're not going to. And it will. I mean, it'll growl really good up to about 3 days. Then the fourth day kind of quiets down. And it's something about once you get to the third day, it's like it's supercharged in your fasting and time of the Lord. Now, I'm talking about I'm not talking a complete fast. I'm talking about the restriction of just consuming maybe a meal a day, drinking water. But man, after that third day, it's just like you can't go anywhere about God. It's speaking to your ear and the word's coming back to you and you're just recalling more and more what he said and you're learning so much more. He said the longest fast I've ever been on is 7 days, so some of y'all might be on one longer, but I just caution anybody, you know, step into a complete fast. Number one, know your body. But the number one thing is make sure that it's God's calling you, because He wants to talk to you. There's a corporate fast. And a corporate fast is when the church comes together. You know, we've announced that a few times. Yeah, we're going to fast on Wednesday for our nation and for our children. Or we're going to fast for wisdom. Or just, and as we fast, we'll be fasting for our children and our grandchildren. During that fast, we're getting the Word of God, what He says. What does He say about your children? They're your inheritance, right? And He gives us a good inheritance. We don't go by what we see. We go by what the Word of God says. And it builds our confidence. God's Word is always true, but man, our faith grows as we hear more of His voice speaking to us and less of the world, because the world a lot of time will come in and try to destroy you, doesn't it? You're fasting. Let's say you're fasting for your grandkids, and your grandkids are wild and crazy, and man, you just can't control them. And the world will say, hey, don't waste your time. They'll never amount to nothing. Ever had that spoken to you before, maybe? I don't know. But what the Word of God say about your grandchildren? They're your inheritance. I'm going to stay. I'm going to intercede for them. So, again, it helps build your faith knowing that you're doing exactly what God's called you to do, to intercede. There's a fasting and other things. Fasting and plus more prayer. We all have a prayer life today, right? But during the time of prayer and fasting, we have more prayer, because instead of consuming the food, we're more in prayer. And prayer is conversation with God. Amen? Amen. And then there's fasting and abstaining from stuff. It could be, I'm going to fast today, and I'm going to be more in the Bible, and I'm going to stay away from my television set today, or my entertainment. Your hobbies. You know, instead of going golfing today for 3 hours, I'm going to take those 3 hours as I'm fasting, and I'm just going to be in the Word of God. If I can be out there on that golf course for 3 hours, and I can talk about everything, you know, I'm not saying golfing is bad, not talking is not bad, but boy, I'm going to pass that up today. You know, I want to be out there, and God, I'm going to spend this time with You, because You're really important in my life. It'd be the same thing if we schedule all go out golfing, and I really enjoyed golfing. I thought, you know, wait, I want to spend more time with my wife today. I want to spend more time with her. I've kind of been busy. I neglected her. So, guys, I'm not golfing today. And what would the guys probably say? They probably tease and all kind of stuff, right? But what would my wife say? What? You give up your golfing? You think that'd make her feel like, wow, he really cares for me, loves me? Yes. And he wants to spend more time? I mean, and how about God? I mean, who invented the golf course? God. I mean, everything belongs to Him. Who gives us the ability to entertain ourselves? God does. And to have something really entertaining that you really like, you really enjoy. Now, guys, I'm not saying you give up your visit with your mother-in-law, you understand? Okay? That doesn't work. But to take something really precious to you and set it aside and say, now I'm going to spend more time with God. Wow. I just make him feel all awesome. Well, good. Come on, let's talk. Let's talk. I was going to speak to you. God, well, I got this question. Lord, I don't know what to do. I've got, maybe it's a job interview. Lord, I got three. I've been praying for a job. Now He gave me three of them. Lord, which one do I want? And sit down and He'll reason with you on that. You know, all three jobs could be fantastic. All three jobs could be a bust by Him. And He just gives you your choice. Well, Starkey, you want to work day shift, midnights? Want to work weekends? All three different? You can just pick. Well, thank you, Lord. But again, it's giving up and something that you really enjoy, something that's really, like you love doing this thing. Maybe a baseball game. Maybe you love watching baseball on TV, and you just, that's what you live for, you know? Well, maybe the Lord will be calling, hey, let's talk tonight. Okay, God, You're more important than that TV and that ball game. And I'm telling you, that's one of the greatest times you can have, to talking with God. Again, there's nothing wrong watching your ball games. Don't leave here thinking I can't watch the ball games. I'm just saying that when you say, well, today I'm going to give this up. It'd be like in the wintertime. I don't watch much sports, but I do watch the Browns. And normally Sunday afternoons, that's one of my things I look forward to, is going home and watching the Browns play. And to say, you know, Lord, not today. I love watching that team. I like relaxing. But I want to spend time with you today, God. I want to talk to you more. We had an awesome time in church today. Your word was fantastic. People worshiped you. But God, how about you and me? A little bit alone time. And God said, wow, that's awesome. You have that. And it helps me control my flesh. Amen? Amen. Well, I want to look at a gentleman that we all heard about, if I can find him here in my Bible. I mean, he's in my Bible. I mean, I just got to... There's a guy named of David, King David. And we're going to go to Psalms 35, if you like to follow me today. And we're going to share Psalms 35. And David is sharing his heart. He's been under attack. His enemy is against him. The one thing that David would know and you look at clear back where Abraham was, where God promised Abraham, Abram became Abraham, that your seed will multiply and multiply and multiply. And where the scriptures talk about there'll always be an inheritance of David on the throne. Many times in the scriptures prior to this, it basically saying that, hey, you know, God's people is not going to get wiped out. I'll always have a remnant. Okay? So, that's, I believe, in the back of David's mind to start with. Now, with us, if we step into, I think as I read this, I think you're going to kind of resemble things that's going on today. I think you're going to see the same thing coming against us. And I know what keeps us going on is that, one, is that the church will not be removed from this earth until God's ready for it. Okay? Or until we're ready for Him. I'm how you want to put that, okay? And that we know our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, right? You know, nothing can take that name out of that book, except for maybe yourself, if you want to go against God and turn your back on Him and say, I'm done, and it'd take a lot to do that. So whatever we go through, and whatever God has asked us to do, it might be tough, but we can do that because, as we've said many times, we've read the end of the book, right? We know what He's called us to do. And each one of us here who are born again, we know that we were in the world at one time. We would have been considered an enemy of God. Even though we might have had a heart for God or we acknowledge Him, we were still on the opposite side of the fence, right? Okay. And so I want to share this with you then. In Psalms 35 verse 1, David speaking, says, contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of buckler and shield and rise up for my help. Draw also the spear and the battle axe to meet those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let those be ashamed and dishonored who seek my life. It's not like he's not in a very good popular place, is he? Let those be turned back and humiliated who despise evil against me. Let them be like chaff before the wind, with the anger of the Lord driving them on. And chaff, if you ever made hay, that chaff flies. I mean, it just takes off. He's saying, blow them out of here. Verse 6, let their way be dark and slippery, with the anger of the Lord pursuing them. For without cause they hid their net for me. Without cause they dug a pit for my soul. I mean, can we say that today? I mean, without cause people are coming against the church, laying nets trying to trap us. Man, and what are we doing wrong? We're loving people, sharing the gospel, feeding people, clothing people. That's what God's done through us. So see the similarity there? Like, why would you hate the church? Why would you try to muzzle the church? Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let the net which he hid catch himself. To that very destruction let him fall. Otherwise David said, come on, God, wipe him out. Turn these things against him. And my soul shall rejoice in the Lord. It shall exalt in his salvation. All my bones will say, Lord, who is like you? Who delivers the afflicted from him who is too strong for him? And the afflicted and the needy from him who robs him? Malice witness rise up. They ask me of things that I do not know. They repay evil for good. To the reprievement of my soul, repay evil for good. You know, the masters tell us, don't repay evil for good, but good for evil. But this, so they're coming again. Everything he tried to do nice, everything he's trying to do, man, they took it and they gave him evil. It'd be like, well, here, Gail, here's $20, have dinner today, and you slapped me. God, why? Hey, Lord, I'm trying to do what you say, be the light, boom. But then this next part really jumps out at me. David says in verse 13, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayers kept returning to my bosom. I went about as though it were my friend or brother. I bow down mourning as one who sorrows for a mother. But my stumbling, they rejoice and gather themselves together. I'm going to plow right there for a little bit. David is saying, all the stuff that he was doing, they had no cause to come against him. They had no cause to reject him. They had no cause to do evil to him. But they did it anyway. Every time he did something good, evil came back. That ever happened in your life today? You do good for people and they turn around and slap you? They don't respect it. They don't like it. They take it from you, but they insult you. Oh my. Make you feel good? What'd you do about it? Prayed. That's what David's doing. But the awesome thing is, I went ahead and I prayed for them. I prayed for them. They were sick. I put on sackcloth. Otherwise, I was interceding for them. I was sharing them. I humbled my soul with fasting. And my prayer kept returning to me. What he's saying here is that as he was praying for them, his prayers were coming back to him. He was being blessed. Amen, church? See, when the Lord says, pray for your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, okay? He's telling you to do that because you need that. Amen? And they need it also, understand. But as we are obedient, we give God cause to bring the blessing back to us. He says, whatever you sow, you're going to reap, right? Wow. There's no stopping that. Whatever you sow. If you had fallen away, if you never knew the Lord, and you were sick, would you appreciate people praying for you? Now you would, okay? Understand. And I can say it takes me back to where, and I shared this the other night, and I'm going to keep talking about myself all the time. When my missus would pray for me on midnight shift, I had nothing to do with it. I mean, I go home and say, I was praying for you last night. And I had a tough night. I mean, it meant nothing to me, really, because, okay, thank you. That's that Jesus thing. You know, I survived it because of, you know, I'm a great cop. Yeah, right. But when I got born again, I recognized how thankful I was that she knew the Lord and prayed for me. Wow. So I have no problem today praying for those who come against me, because I knew I was there at one time. And I know those prayers interceded for me. And I know those prayers helped me to survive, to come to my senses, to receive Jesus. But this is David. Now, today, look at our country today. Look at the evils coming against the church. Look at, why? Why would you fine us for feeding people? Why are brothers and sisters in California being arrested because they feed the poor? Why are they saying, no, you can't give them free clothing? Man, that's terrible. What are you saying? You're passing these laws for my grandkids? What, they first grade, they decide they want to be a boy or a girl? What David did, I believe, through fasting, it helped him receive a heart of God. Remember God says, man, David is a man after my own heart. See, right now, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying, can we pray for those right now who are passing these laws that's trying to destroy our children, our grandchildren, who are destroying our country, who's taking everything that we built upon, based upon the Bible when we formed this country, and they're destroying it. Have we got to the point yet where we are praying for those who are doing it? Or are we mainly praying for fire and brimstone to fall on top of their heads? Okay? But David, through his prayer and fasting, he was getting a heart for those people. He was praying. I don't think he just saying, okay, oh Lord, touch them, they're sick today. Interceding, praying for them. Because his heart was turning more and more in God's heart. And he goes back to what he says, God says, my desire is that no one would perish. Now, how can you love the unlovable? How can you love the one that is so ugly when it comes to the things of the Lord and the things of the earth? How can you intercede for me? You can't, but God in you can. It can make a difference. Now, their outcome is their outcome. But us interceding for them, us to have a heart, God, look at them. How can they make a law like this? Look how evil, the evil's got them wrapped up. God, I know if they don't change their ways, they're going to be in hell for eternity. In hell, they're going to recognize how they've been fooled, how they've been shanghaied, how their pride have all the stuff they got a hold of, and they're in there tormented forever and ever and ever. God, I don't want that. God, open their eyes up. At the same time, God, remove them from power. God, stop them. Stop them. Bring them to their senses. God, let justice be served. Remove them from there. God, get them isolated. Protect our children, but God, get them in a place where their eyes be open. And a lot of times, a group of folks won't listen. But get them isolated. I mean, if somebody came in right now, if we was all Browns fans, and someone came in today right now and said, oh, listen, I want to tell you about the Steelers. They'd be booed out of here and going out there. Well, unless you got some Steelers fans here, stay here. But you know what? One-on-one. Get them separated, God. So, in my mind, when I see these individual jail cells, isolation. Get away from the core. They can hear a little bit. Now remember, we get the noise away from them. I mean, it's very easy to be in a group of people and everybody chanting the same thing. Yeah, I get on the hype of stuff, you know. We saw that when Christ walked into Jerusalem. Everybody was, yeah, man, I don't know what's going on, but this is party time, okay? Get them separate. One-on-one. And that's my prayer. That these folks did this thing that they're involved in, be broken up, taken away, justice served, they'd be incarcerated, and then in the quietness of that cell, where there's nothing else they have, that the Word of God will come to them. Now that Word of God won't float through the air, but somebody will bring it into there, or that Word of God that they may have heard as a youngster before they got deceived, before whatever caused them to walk away, will return to them. No doubt that voice had been trying to speak to them, if they had it, but they've been so busy, so wrapped up in the things of this world. I believe that's where God wants our heart to be. Even though we despise what they're doing, we don't want them, we want to remove them, we want them shut down. And that is all good, because that's a righteous anger inside your heart. But not forget who they are. I mean, I know John 1:11, 1:12, in that area tells us that we're not a child of God until we are born again. We're born again with His children, right? But just let's take this way for a moment. Let's take a child. Let's take the prodigal son for a moment. Everybody familiar with prodigal son? Walked away from his father, took away one. How much rejoicing the father have when that prodigal son came to his senses. He had hit rock bottom. He blew it all. How much rejoicing. How much rejoicing would God have when those who are wrapped up today in this evil are set free to the power that He has given to the church through prayer, fasting, through His Word. Can you imagine? I mean, let's go back 6 years ago. Who ever thought Donald Trump would ever be born again? I mean, who ever thought I'd be born again? Right, Stella? We worked together years ago. But look what prayer did. And God ain't done yet. Look at Saul. I mean, he's going to Damascus. He's getting ready to wipe out some Christians. I'm assuming two things are going on, two types of prayer. God, stop him. Stop that murderer. Stop him in his track. He's coming after us. He's going to put me and my kids in jail. But God, touch him. Get his eyes open. Take that evilness, that anger that he has, God, the lies that he's got wrapped up in, and set him free that he'll be a power in your hands. Woo. And somewhere between Jerusalem and Damascus, boom. How close was he getting before? How far outside Damascus was he? Any idea? I don't know. I don't know whether, you know, again, this is me. You know, we'll get this prayer vigil going on. We're in the second story of the house. We're praying, God, come on. God, he's coming. He delivers. And we're looking out. Hey, he's coming. Wow, I can see his horse. He's coming. Paul's coming. God, oh, Lord, deliver our kid. Stop him. May his eyes see you. Right? What do you say, Ryan? He fell off his horse. All right, woohoo! And some people say, yeah, he broke his neck. Teach him, come against the man of God. Come against God's people. Be rejoiced. Oh, he broke his neck. He got up again. Whoops. What, he's on the horse? They're leading him now. God, what happened? The closer you got, you realize, ooh, he's blind, he can't see. He's not a threat to us anymore. And next thing you know, 3 days later, the scales come off. And God answers the prayer. No doubt it got pretty hairy there for a while, did it not? I would say, they think, uh-oh, is he really going to do what we say we're going to do? But they hung in there. And folks, may we have the same heart today. Not to give up on God's word. Not to fall into the rut of using non-Christian verbalization of speaking about those who are doing evil. All right, quit cussing them out. Put it that way. Quit using the slanderous words that the world is using and intercede. For us who are victims, our children and grandchildren, intercede. Speak out the word, stop them, but don't forget about them. Because God doesn't want us to. That's what David did. And as David interceded, you know, and I truly believe his prayer was true. I mean, he felt in his heart, because God said he had a heart after me that he said, okay, God, look at this. Oh, man, what's happening? Where'd they go wrong? praying for them. Heartfelt prayers, man, it came right back to him. And we continue. In verse 15, but at my stumbling they rejoice and gather themselves together. The spiders, whom I did not know, gathered together against me. They slander me without ceasing. Like godless jesters at a feast, they gashed at me and with their teeth. So they're continuing. Still doing it, right? Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue my soul from their ravages, my only life from the lions. I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among a mighty throne. Do not let those who are wrongfully my enemies rejoice over me. Nor let those who hate me without cause wink maliciously. So he is saying the same thing. God removed them from power. Amen? But he's still praying for them. But remove them from power. I'm doing what you say. Pray for those in authority. Right now they're in authority over me. Okay, but remove them from power. For they do not speak peace, but they devise deceitful words against those who are quiet in the land. They open their mouth wide against me. They say, Aya, Aya, our eyes have seen it. You have seen it, O Lord. Do not keep silent. O Lord, do not be far from me. Stir up yourself and awake to my right and to my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness. And do not let them rejoice over me. Do not let them say in their heart, Aha, our desire. Do not let them say, We have swallowed him up. Let those be ashamed and humiliated altogether who rejoice in my distress. Let those be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves over me. Let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication. And let them say continually, The Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall declare your righteousness and your praise all day long. No doubt David is settled who he is in God, right? He knows that he is a man of God, right? Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen? Now, was David perfect every time he went out? No. But what did he do? Did he not repent? Okay. See, he could stand and say, God, listen, save me, watch over me, cause these enemy of mine to be shut down. I will praise you, I'm going to continue to give you glory. He didn't let the devil get in his head and start saying, well, remember what you did, remember what you did. No. He stood on the word of God. He stood on it. He did exactly what God said for him to do. And so may we remember the same thing today. That God has called us to be a light unto the hill, shining from the hillside, no matter where we're at. And the only way we can get that light, keep it shining, is through the Holy Spirit in us, right? Through the Word of God in us. That we will remember who we are in Christ Jesus, and to be the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. To be the flavor wherever we're at. And folks, for some of us, you have an opportunity to do that easier today on that thing that you call a Facebook. To be a salt. When someone is to turn things toward the Lord. Now, if you're led to, you might be more led just to shut it down. Amen? That's causing you more frustration. Yeah, just caution. If I type in there about my wife today and say, well, I don't understand what's wrong with her, I'll tell you what. You know what she did today? She did this and this and this, and you're reading it. I got to send that. That's gossip. We got to recognize that as gossip. We got to leave it alone. Or if we're getting on there, we're typing stuff out about our neighbors. That is gossip. I mean, that's supposed to be recognized as it is. Amen? If you have an issue with your neighbor, go talk to your neighbor. If it's really bothering you. But man, don't put it on Facebook. Is that being a light? Is that being salt? That's being hot peppers normally, okay? Seek the Lord. Again, As he fasted and prayed, his heart grew more and more as God. His heart was changing from stone to flesh. He found himself bound to pray for those who hated him, who despised him for no reason, just because they said, hate him. Everybody not like you. You never met him before. But they don't like you because they heard something about you. And what they heard was a lie. Amen? Could you pray for those folks? Could you? That's where we must get our hearts at. Pray for them. Amen.